The following message was recorded at our weekly worship service at Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. Visit us online at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us.
I want to just share with you all this morning the major thing that I'm getting out of this, because we're studying so much, or we've gone over so many different things in our class that I couldn't pick any certain thing to talk about because they're all just so glorious and wonderful, the things that you find in this book. Amen. This revelation from God that we so much just overlook. There's mornings where I just look at it, I'm like, oh, there's my Bible. Then I go off to work. It's so foolish to think that we can live our lives and figure it out all on our own. So I want to talk to you all this morning about the importance of this book that we have. And class has helped me understand how important it is to be actively engaged in the study of God. Because if we're not actively engaged that way, we will fall back into our, what Paul calls, sinful fleshly mind. And that's not a good place to be. So if you're actively engaged seeking after God, what He wants for your life, what the Word says to do with your life, it's such a huge blessing, and it pushes you to study and dig deep into the truths in the Word. One thing that this class has encouraged me to do is to read more books that other people have written about the Scriptures. And I've met people who don't want to even read theology books because they say that their understanding of the Bible might be influenced by that person, and they don't want anybody to do that. So what they're saying is God possibly couldn't use another person to help me understand the Word more clearly, which is ridiculous. I mean, if you think about that, then why are you even listening to your pastor every Sunday morning? Because it's kind of the same thing. So I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get to understand some of this. Even in a letter written from prison, Paul requested Timothy to bring him the books. It's in the Scripture. Paul needed books. So I found this quote by Charles Spurgeon, which we may all be familiar with him or not. This is what he said about that verse that says that. He says, "He is inspired, and yet he wants books. He has seen the Lord, and yet he wants books. He has had wider experience than most men, and yet he wants books. He has been caught up in the third heaven and had heard things unlawful for a man to utter, yet he wants books. He has written a major part of the New Testament, and yet he wants books." He then goes on to remind us, "He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves he has no brains of his own." Now, granted, he was an extremist in a lot of areas. I wouldn't go so far as much to say that, but he does have a very good point. If we're not seeking after God's knowledge through other people, people that have taken hours and hours and even maybe years to study certain things and have found glorious things in the Scriptures that we won't necessarily find on our own, it's amazing some of the stuff that these great writers have found. And it's just opened my eyes to things that I wouldn't have found on my own. So you may respond saying, "I'm no scholar. These books are way too deep." And I was there at that point in my life. I'd read like Bonhoeffer and like almost had a brain aneurysm. I was just like, and that was just one sentence. And I was just like, "God." Believe me, it's hard. It's hard work. It's not an easy thing to do, but I still implore you to do it. These authors of these theology books can offer invaluable assistance for wrapping our minds around the Spirit-inspired teachings of Scripture. So why should we study Scripture? Why? Well, we learn from writers whose books challenge us and help us mine the riches of God's Word. If we're not actively engaged, as I said earlier, we'll be actively engaged in other things, and our mind will be transformed to that. Paul tells us to not be transformed or in the likeness of the world, but conform your mind to the Word. That takes a lot of hard work. Our minds can so easily just fall back into our sinful nature and want to just veg out all the time. And the more and more I am going through this class, I see that God has spoken in every single aspect of our lives. There's not one area that He has left for us to figure out on our own. This class has given me the opportunity to challenge and wrestle with doctrines I wouldn't necessarily found on my own. The truths we've been studying have shown me more and more how active God is in the world, how He has not just left us here. He's given us instructions on how to live our lives and furthermore to find true joy. We see the world and the way the world works and the way the sinful mind works about how we're supposed to do everything for ourselves and glorify ourselves, and that's how we get happiness. But this Word teaches us that everything is found in Him, in Jesus. And if we're seeking after Him and His glory, we will find true happiness. The world, you see them. You see how unhappy they are and how foolish their ways are. And they never find true happiness, and they're searching after so much. And yet when we glorify God, as we have learned so much through this class, we will find true joy in what it's really, really about, in glorifying Him. So I pray that you guys wouldn't neglect the Word, because the Word is central to everything in our lives. Even our services here, we try and sing songs that centralize on the Word of God, so you guys will be singing the Scriptures. There's so many verses in the Psalms. I love the Psalms because I'm the worship guy. Let me read some of these for you. The psalmist declares, "In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust. The word of the Lord is perfect, sure, right, pure, and true," says in Psalms 19. The longest chapter in the whole Bible, Psalm 119, is a captivating meditation on how God's word encourages and governs our lives. And near the end of the writer, the writer concludes, "My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right." The early Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, it says in Acts 2. Paul instructed us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly as we sing in Colossians. So the word is an all-encompassing part of our life. This is where we live and breathe and move. It's through Him, through His word. The word also reveals His nature. Here's some more verses from Psalms. "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made." That's in Psalms 145. Psalm 117 says, "Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples, for great is His steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." Psalm 21 says, "Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power." Psalm 99, "Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is He." If we want to know God and see God the way He's presented in the Bible, we need to study His word. If we don't, we will do something called worship, but it won't be great. It won't be greatly to be praised. It says in the Psalms over and over, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." He is great, very great, very great. And how we can see that is in His word. Amen. So this morning, as we get prepared to give our tithes and offerings, I ask the men to come forward at this time. The more and more we fall in love with His word, the more and more we're falling in love with Him. We will lay aside our own wants, our own desires, and want to bring glory to Him and want to fulfill His desires for our life. And that includes our money. Amen. Giving of our money to further the work of His kingdom. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that we would all cherish it, that we would all come to love it dearly, that we would be daily engaged to read your word, to find things that challenge us and stretch us, and help us to become more in the image of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your word. We so many times choose other things in our lives to give glory to, Lord. Forgive us for those times, Lord, and help us to be actively engaged in this life to bring glory to you and your Son, Father. Pray that this offering this morning would go to further your gospel in this world, that we would glorify your name with this money, that we would glorify your name with our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. We invite you to visit our website at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us. You can call us at 253-531-1672. Our mailing address is 3714 East 84th Street, Tacoma, Washington, 98446.